the next topic we have to deal with, I mean, really two topics left. Number one, what does it, they're both aspects of the same question. What does it mean to be koveyasu dal pasavakutsu? What does that mean? And so the question is two pieces. Number one, what is the shear of, when you're koveya, what is it? What do you have to be koveya on? Is it necessary to be all passive of existence, or is it simply enough to eat fully and you also have passive of existence? And then the second question is, okay, putting that question aside, assuming you're eating passive of existence, what is the definition of kiyas? How much? Clearly one thing it's not. It's not just the kazayas. I think that's a pretty obvious. And the question is, how much more than a kazayas? So, let's begin with the Shulchan Aruch and Sifri of Zion, and it's a topic that, again, we've discussed this a number of times, but I'd like to see it inside. And I apologize, but the sheets of Mishnah Berurah are here, which I forgot to put on, which I think I did put in the source sheets, and then I think I accidentally got deleted unintentionally. Alternatively, is it possible some of you guys need your... I understand. Well, that's the problem. The problem is that you guys need your vision check. You can't read what it says between Mishnah Berurah and your halacha. That's the problem. If you have better vision, you'd be able to see. In the meantime, since you can't see what's printed there, you can just use the second sheet. So, the Shulchan Aruch reads in Sifri Zion, Fellas, may I please ask you to read? Yep.
Has
Okay. So I'm in a problem. Yes. So the Mechaber describes Pashtida Nefes Betanur. You fill it with meat, fish, or cheese that you make hamotzi and birchas hamazon. So what's the question? There's really one central question here. Shimon?
Is this passive of kisdom?
That is the conceptual question here. What's the practical question here? Five? Yeah, why don't you kriyas? So Shimon, if you say kriyas is not necessary, then you're saying it's not, in effect, it's not passive of kisdom. If you say, you know, if kriyas is necessary, why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch mention it? Yeah. Yes, because Tanah Kiruch Alechsha V'Leizel, the Talmud doesn't have to spell out every. He spelled it out a couple of times. We understand it means when you have these funny kinds of bread that are not just bread; they're something else. It depends whether you kovei or not. That's all. Now the Rama adds, though, it has to be that you baked it in the oven and you didn't fry it. If you fried it, you don't make it. You don't make. You don't make a bracha on it. And then he says you should only eat it b'toch hasuda because of some suffix. Okay. Well, needless to say, certainly the way we make a pashtida, if we make or its equivalent, it's baked in the oven. If you have a pasta lasagna, okay, but not lasagna, but actually using bread, or you have a calzone, that's bread that's baked in the oven. So the Shulchan Aruch rules that you have to wash a bench on it. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, which you have there, the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Sifkat and Sadi Dalit says, go ahead, Bob. So it's like, what is it like eating when you have a pashtida?
Sandwich.
A sandwich. You eat a meat sandwich, you eat a deli sandwich. So you're having meat, you're having bread. So that's, even though those are obviously different because those were prepared, the bread wasn't baked with the deli. That would be, if bread were baked with the deli, we would call that deli roll.
Okay, it would be a puff pastry dough, which tastes really good and is really bad for you. I think it's the worst of all worlds, the halakhos. Am I ruining life for you?
Yeah.
You know, the truth is, you know, Moroccan, like, Sephardi cuisine is wonderful.
Cuisine.
Somehow, I don't know, it's not as bad as the I don't know, I think the Ashkenazi stuff, like, was perfect if you live on a starvation diet. And you have whatever you can get. But like the Sephardi food is like, it's all real cuisine. Every culture, food is an important part of every culture. But I happen to actually like, you know, there's certain things. Do you taste the love? I hear, you know, you're right. You're right. When you were in Gush, though, they must have had cocoa.
I've had it once or twice.
Okay. You said, pull the knife out. Anyway, but it, you know, kind of, you know, I tend to think most Moroccan, you know, North African cuisine is really, you know.
It's different.
It's different, but there's certain commonalities. I happen to like Middle Eastern food, so. You know, I'm sorry, I betrayed my Ashkenazi roots, but. I do eat Ashkenazi foods, but I draw the line at the cha. So.
Did Simon say tell you about Maza?
What?
Maza.
Maza?
Maza. It's like hors d'oeuvres, but like, you know, but some of them are well known, like rough and kibbeh.
Ah, kibbeh, like, yeah.
So it's like, yeah. Like the finger foods.
Like, yeah, those are good. Those are good. Okay, so. So the Mishnah Berurah says it depends what the purpose of the food is, and it's not crazy to say that when you have a, let's say, it happens to be it's not bread because it's fried, but when you have a sufganiya, but if it were baked, right, and it's filled with a jelly or with custard, that is not eaten for meal; that's eaten for dessert. Whereas if you were to take that very same type of dough and fill it with meat or fish. Or cheese, what you'd be saying is that is my beer. So, the Nirapashut, go ahead.
The Nirapashut, the Kima, Asuyan, Rikikin, Tanin, Mel Rave, Abraham, Chitin, Chabasa, Nikarsha, Ain, Asuyan,
Kiim, the Kinua,
Kiim, the Kinua, Akar, Suda, the Namamish, Kapatra, Mel Rave, Paris, Ubisharman, and Ego, in Bread, Allah, Verkumazan, the Delo.
Right, so there's one thing that's very strange about this, maybe not recognizing the cuisine, and I mean that, which is, I understand the rikikim or ketanim, they're like thin, whatever, dough, thin cracker, probably dough, but who puts pieces of meat in for dessert? What?
I don't know,
there's
like...
That's odd, isn't it? In other words, I understand, right, I'm not asking a halachic question, I'm asking a tzitzis question here. It's a very odd. I can't think of situations, I can't think of meat being in any dessert. It's hard to imagine that.
Meat dishes are a little sweeter.
Can you describe something that you have seen and eaten yourself?
Not for dessert.
That's what? Okay.
Right,
but that's my point, right?
I think it's
what?
Is it different cuisine?
Is what?
Is it different cuisine?
The reason I ask the question is not because I care so much what, not because I want to write a cookbook and I'm going to include Mr. Brewer's recipes, because I want to know how, am I missing something?
They had cheese dishes, because one of the categories is kimono.
Okay, so let's think about what kind of, there are a very limited number of cheeses I would argue that get you, any cheese that's in dessert is almost always very sweet, like cheesecake. You hear about cheesecake?
I don't like it, but I've had it, but I don't like it.
What's with him? Is this guy Jewish? Cheesecake! They had it in Matan Torah at the time of Shavuos. Okay. So.
Didn't think anything.
What? So, but you think about things like cheesecake, or if you have a cheese Danish, right? That tends to be sweet.
Right.
No one would take Parmesan cheese as part of dessert. Right? Or formaggio, or blue cheese. So. That's what I'm puzzled by. What I'm curious to know what he's describing, because am I missing a category? That's my issue. I don't care about, you know, if he used a bunch of, you know, Polish words that clearly had something to do with being sweet, so I wouldn't care. Yes.
Could it be more of a side dish for them?
No, it's not. What is a side dish?
It's
carperis.
So
that's what a side dish is. A side dish is, I'm sorry, we haven't done the sugya yet. of Dvar Haba Mechamas Hasu Veshlomei Machasu Hasu. The way the mainstream Rishonim understand Dvar Haba Shalom Mechamas Hasu is fruit. Dvar Haba Mechamas Hasu is not a condiment to the bread. It's fish. It's meat. It's something you eat while you eat bread, but not on the bread. It's not tuffel to the bread. But it's Bamei Chamas Hasu. Those are side dishes. They say fruit is not a side dish. Fruit is Dvar Haba Shalom Mechamas Hasu. But I would tell you that if you have something like what they call cranberry crunch, that can be a dessert, by the way. You know, it really does depend where you serve it. If you serve it with ice cream on top, or, you know, in our case, usually part of ice cream, you know, on top afterwards, that is dessert. If you take that people will use that as a side dish. They'll count that as one of the side dishes when they're serving. So, but normally fruits, right? People, that might be cranberry crunch because you also have. And you have the grain and the oats, whatever it is. But nobody usually serves dates in the middle of a meal. You might put out dates for dessert. So that's why I'm just puzzled by it. We you know, I'm not quite sure. Okay, but continue now. Vida.
Vida the Bastion Nefer in the basin, the Hainu Mashikorin Tichloch, Nisabik the Mangan
Abram. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand. You know what tichel are. I assume it's the same thing. Because Jewish? No, tichel. You have gotten, Ronnie, I said, I don't expect you to know it. It's very Ashkenazi. It's not a super sweet. It tends to be more, a little bit like sprinkled sugar on the outside. But it's kind of it's got a crunchy outside, but the inside is kind of very airy. I guess you could call it a puffy cookie, sort of. That's
called tichel?
Yeah. I think we have to have it, forget going to Washington Heights to bring in, like, we could take you on a, you know, we can have both an Ashkenazi and a Sephardi one, so. What?
A heritage.
A heritage, yeah. It's like, come on here. And I'm not even the person biggest into traditional Jewish foods. I told you, I don't eat pecha or sweetbreads or anything like that. What? I suspect there's a lot of overlap.
There is a bit, but I don't know what tichel is.
Well,
I feel
it's been in this country for like 100 years, so.
We all have our foods.
We lost.
So has my family. At least on my mother's side, yeah. All right, anyway, so the tichel, I don't. If you okay, so again, the reason why here it matters is. Fryam, you know tichel?
Yeah.
Can you imagine anybody saying that's not possible? it's dessert.
Maybe it changed over time.
That's an important question. That's the challenge here.
It's just
flour
and liquid. So
flour and liquid. First, if they make it like we make it today, it's sweet on the outside. It's not nobody.
Sometimes it's coated. Sometimes it's not coated with sugar. It depends.
People do not eat that with a meal. In a meal, they eat that after a meal.
Well, have it as part of the kiddush all the time.
The kiddush, but they also have sweet cakes at the kiddush, right?
Yeah.
The kiddush is a hot
part. That's just to have a mezonos,
though. You're pushing my buttons. Okay, go ahead. So anyway, the topic from that point, about and continue.
So, the topic
we're going to run, Inhu B'chlau Pas Gizmin, is that Dibre Haim? You know what that is? And the next one is your Al Kazeda.
Yeah.
Shulchan Aruch Harav.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the Derech HaChaim?
Derech HaChaim is the Siddur of
Mitzvot. Okay. Derech HaChaim and the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Hechlitu.
Hechlitu Dehu Bechlal Pas Kisnen. We can't have a mugging Purim.
Hechein HaMinav. Yeah, I would have thought so. When we call Makom.
Because of mugging Purim, is that
I think it's Yerushalayim. Yeah.
Oh, the Yerushalayim.
And the alternative that doesn't fit here is Yayin Sara, which is the booze. But it's schnapps. Okay, but that doesn't fit here.
The Yerushalayim Layokal.
That would be healthy. That would be a pretty funny reading, actually. Right? The Yayin Sara Layokal, Kien Kishakal Alisha Homer Gates, it's some type of health advice. You know, what type of pasta you eat the schnapps with. But no, that's not what it is. The Yerei Shemayim.
Lo yochel ki intra kol halisha tu al megitim v'lon yisarei v'mayim kval v'nira v'im hu dak v'yodesh en l'hafen avilim yisarei v'mayim.
Right. So, okay.
Again, our tichol, I can't imagine anybody staying on that pasta of a kistin. I don't know exactly what that looked like.
Egg
water, which I don't think our tichols are made that way. I think they're made with water. I don't know if I'm sure there's eggs mixed in too. So yeah, we do. I guess we're going to have to some share some theory of a drop. You have to start. You have to compile a list of the foods that we've crossed for those that we can identify, and then we at some point have to have everybody see what they are, see what we're talking about. Okay. All right. Now let's take a look at the beer halacha on this, because the Mishnah Berurah presented a mostly one-sided approach, kind of the Magen Avraham, but a lot of Achronim seem to have disagreed on the Hashkida question. So the beer halacha writes in Yud Zayin. Thank you, Jay. Can I ask you to take over, please?
You
had time, not the first one.
I bet Mr. Bulletta, you will Tera, some Sverle, the Amethaber, the Mash, and the Mosiva Emmets, and Boka, the Riaz.
Is that the Shon or Shon? So, you know, this is, who is the Riaz?
Riachron
Zam. What?
Riachron Zam.
What's that? It's one of the Rishonim.
Yeah, the Ritz.
Okay. So, when did the Ritzlis? Rishaya the Tronim.
14th century?
Yeah,
the one in the 51?
Yeah.
Okay. So, he quotes him as saying the following. Go ahead. So the chen rebeda ikar, why? Because they're like all in one. The pas for liftan to echad.
The two
that have a suin. Okay, so basically it's an all in one. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. In other words, this is it's a meal and a kid. It's a meal in one. You know, no longer do you. This is almost so modern. It's like modern people are lazy. I mean, everything done for us. Everything is instant. So instead, I have to eat some bread and I have to eat some cheese. Instead, it's an all-in-one package.
So if you have only a chazari, it's automatically bread. There would be hamotzi.
That's the whole point of the Mishnah Berurah and Magen Avraham. That according to the Mechaber, he doesn't mention kava because it's bread. So even if you have a chazari, you have even if you eat less than a chazari, you don't have bracha. Question what the bracha chrono will be if you have less than a kazayas of the bread itself. But bottom line is it's going to be washing hamotzi for sure, no matter how much you're eating. Of course, if you're eating less than a kazayas, eating less than a kabeza, so then you don't make a bracha when you wash. Now we learned in Hilchos Tehillah Sedai. It's the suffix with the Yimachoy. Okay. Continue. Akan l'shom l'shom b'piske alach l'mesechas brachas. Okay, Umubagamkein. Shofei Hagiborim. Right, so the Ramaz Lazer Magarab, and the Magarab hits it to this. Who the low, all this he just said until now is the low.
The low Kataz, the Hamadatim, Shasir, the Kavana Davka, the Keva. If they were eating Shamagarabon, Maskinim, the Dina with the Rataz.
So let's, if you look really carefully,
the
Now, so you think the Mechaber wouldn't disagree with the Taz. The Mechaber is talking about a case where it's made like regular bread, which is then the Svala. The Alkein. Yeah, with brackets. So, Chamosha Kasvah Poskim. Okay, so he thinks everybody would agree that they're just talking about different mitzvahs. Now, as the Mechaber would agree that just the meat filling alone doesn't mean that therefore it's bread. But it's describing, it's just talking about a certain kind of thing where the lechem is asa d'svela as opposed to meant for dessert. So then he says that achein. Without tapa. Right, okay. All right, so he says the karve enai.
The karve enai, my way of time is the passage, the halay to pat kisni. But I move up the Shakamaj Moshe Udina. Moshe Gatab, we can move up there behind the Alpine show.
Now, Pia Tormein, Kosaf Devorai, Shiva Mishkabur. Now, assuming that the Mishkabur, I'm going to come back to our favorite food.
Pizza.
Now, tomorrow, I make sure you tell a friend if you're coming tomorrow for lunch, or we'll bring pizza. So, we'll all wash, I assume. I assume everybody's going to be happy in this area. But, what? What do college students actually, I jokingly say, like 4 or 5 slices of pizza? What? How many people have 2 slices of pizza when they have a meal?
I have either 2 or 3, depends if I have something else. Okay.
And those who didn't raise their hand for 2, what is it?
Sometimes 1, sometimes 2, depends on how much.
Oh, but not more than that?
Usually not. My meals are small.
What? Okay, it sounds like 2 seems to be. Despite that, I'd like to brag about the exploits of college students, because you read the Sadoras, 2 slices of meal. Okay. What?
Because they're just getting
bigger. Oh, that's right. It's like different Jason. No, they're getting smaller. They're getting smaller than they used to be. They're getting bigger. So, okay. So we will wash. That will not be the issue. You would wash also, right? There's no reason it should be any different, correct?
Well, I would wash irrespective of what you guys do. I'm Kovea.
No, I know, except for it's defined by not you, but a typical person in your shoes are. But I agree.
No, the Rambam is big, so
that's not how the Shulchan Aruch passes.
Okay.
All right, so, anyway, the question is, but let's assume not like tomorrow. That's like, there's a piece of pizza, there's some pizza in the fridge. And, you know, it's afternoon, I want a little snack to tide me over. How would you put this according to the Mishnah Berurah?
I think they have things which are in between of, it's not necessarily a meal food, but it can be a meal food, but that's not because it sounds like it's generally, specifically not a meal food. Okay, so then for forcing him to make it this. Here, the machine sounds like it's a meal food dapper. So pizza is somewhere in between.
Right.
It's not the tzidua, is it?
So let me frame things this way. What do you mean by that, Jake? I'm gonna I'll point to where I thought about that, but then I'll show you the weakness in the argument. What do you mean by it's not the kinoa? It's a good point you're making, but explain it.
The kinoa sounds like it's an add-on, something. It's like a little
add-on. Right. So let me ask you a question there. If you have, let's take cookies. Right? Cookies are baked, so cookies are passive, I was listening. Supposing in the middle of the afternoon you're hungry, so you grab a small package of chocolate chip cookies. Is that like quinoa?
I think that it's not a...
think soveya in the same way that a pizza is.
How much? It depends how much you have. If you have one slice, I think most people, you know, like if you have when you reach a, yeah, I think one of the ways you can tell is how likely would you be to engage or not engage in physical activity right afterwards. That's, I think, one way of sort of telling. I think that a sliced pizza you might still, you know, grab on the, and not that it's typically, for other reasons, not. So you might serve and you go out and play your basketball game. I think that, you know, the same thing with packaged cookies. What I'm really pointing to Jake is that, well, again, they didn't snack, it would seem, the way we do for the most part. There's only one context in which I can think snacking takes place in traditional sources. I'll be impressed with any, again.
That's
what I was thinking of farmers. Very good. That's exactly what I was thinking of. He said, assuming you don't hold like Isi, who said that anybody walking, well, it could be, the truth is, even if you hold Isi held that it refers to walking through somebody else's field, not a poem. We don't posture that way. But either way, that seems to be snacking. And, but that wasn't, I don't get the sense that that was typical. The typical is people sat down and ate twice a day. People didn't graze the way many people do today. Whatever the reason is. So that's why, Jake, I think we talk about the kinua suda. The kinua, you're right, that this piece of pizza grabbed in the middle of the day is not the kinua suda. Neither are the chocolate chip cookies. But it's also not derech suda. It's not done l'svala. It's done to tide you over. Well, of course, we're just addicted to eating food.
I don't know if it's like, I think it's different level. I think it's different levels of tidy over if you have an Oreo versus if you have a piece of pizza.
Well, what if you have? That's not a fair comparison. Let's say you have a quarter of a slice of pizza. You're saying an Oreo versus a slice of pizza. We can talk about what is the line, but that's just what about eating 8 Oreos or 10 Oreos, which might be, you know, a piece of pizza may have 400 calories. I don't know. You probably have to have at least like 6 Oreos or something like that. 6 Oreos is.
6 Oreos are an invention.
What? So that's what I'm saying. Is you're right. What if kinuah suda is your definition, you're right. It wouldn't fall on that. But neither, I think, with the Oreos in the middle of the day. But if it's the opposite of the spoa, so if they're writing the kinuah suda because that was the only time they normally be eating. But I think we could say that a snack in the middle of the day is called kinuah. I'm going to call it kinuah suda, but it means it's a snack. It's a dessert rather than providing your real sustenance. Okay. Now the Aruch HaShulchan does have what to say on this issue. And the Aruch HaShulchan is in Sif Katan Mem Vav. So can I ask, I don't know, Ephraim, please. So this is kind of interesting. He's talking about hamantash here, and he calls them lechem gomor. Now I don't know what he means exactly by that. Now I don't know. So when we see pashti and krep, what you guys know what krep are?
I don't know what he's talking about.
So look, I remember my grandmother's zechara l'bracha. She would make these cheese krepach.
Oh.
I know, and she would make them and freeze them unfried, and my father would pick them up. My grandparents lived in the Bronx, and my grandmother was born in Hungary, probably 1900 or 1901, Hungary, Romania, and my mother would fry them, and for a long time as a kid, I never touched this because I was like such a picky eater. And then when I found this fun eating it, they were so good. I can still see them, you know. And my grandmother, you know, my mother had a bunch in the freezer. My grandmother passed away, but like we knew we'd be eating the last ones. It was like years old, but they were so good. But those krepels were fried. I mean, I don't think we would call
them. Yeah, that's why I was thinking that I don't.
So that's why the Mishnah was telling you that these are different. In other words, the krepel that they're talking about is not the same krepel we're thinking of. The krepel we're thinking of are fried. They're not really. I mean, I don't know, like, when you have, you know what, krepel, I mean, it's probably across all cultures. You know what the most common krepel you probably have now? Wontons.
Mm.
There's a meat krepel. The Chinese should be sued for cultural appropriation. So, sorry. Oh, no, that was not in soup. That was like,
Those were closed by, right, the, I don't know how they make the ones in soup, but I assume it's a, I assume they cook them. I don't assume they're baked. I don't know. So, it's probably common across all cultures. You take a dough and you wrap meat in it. Yeah, that makes sense. What?
Ravioli.
Yeah, I except for cheese. Well, I mean, maybe. There is? I never. Okay. What do the Italians sell anyway? Really? Yes, it's common across cultures. Right? I mean, bread, meat, of course, why not? Meat. Any and all combination makes sense. So he's just telling you that the krepelach are not, that they're different than the ones we're thinking of. Because ours don't have toar lechem, right? The wontons don't have enough toar lechem. Right? Clearly, they're a dough, a very, very soft dough, and it's not baked. That doesn't have tzuras hapas in any way. Okay. But he continues. Right, so now, put that aside. So, the Aruch HaShulchan has a slightly different take on this, but it's more confusing. What is he introduced here that's commonly different than everybody else has been saying?
Ikar
Tafa. And here's where it gets interesting. Again, this is an application to the world of Metzius. In a pizza, what would you say is the Ikar?
Oh, that's tricky.
Right. It starts to get tricky. What?
No, it's
I feel like it's the bread just for
people.
Yeah.
You can't have any of the three.
You don't just go on cheese and stuff.
There is a cheeseless pizza, by the way. I think it's a bracha levatala, frankly. In my
people
opinion.
Need cheeseless pizzas. There's also sauceless pizzas.
The sauceless I understand.
I've never seen a breadless pizza.
Yeah, because it's kind of hard to hold. We call that cheese. What? Well, no, but then you should have matzah. Undoubtedly, you want both. This is not like why I would tie it a wrap, where the bread is still, where the wrap is, you know, a wrap, which are thin and clearly tasteless, why I think the wrap really is a tafel. Now, clearly, this is a bread, but the question is still, which is the ikar? Let me ask you the following, Jake, a calzone. What would you describe? And I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm not trying to prove you wrong.
I'd probably say the same for a calzone.
You say that the thing around is the ikar? Well, like pizza, you could say, depending on how thin, good pizza is thin crust pizza. Right? If you have a thin crust pizza and you have cheese on top, I don't know which is more in volume. It probably is the bread, but I'm not sure. Then in a calzone, there, clearly the filling is the reborn.
I haven't had that kind of calzone.
Okay. We're not talking about something like a knish. I'm not talking about a knish or even a blintz. Putting aside their individual statuses, how they're made. Where the robe, overwhelming robe, is the dough part, even though you know
the
right. No, a calzone. You go into. I haven't had one in ages.
That's what I think. I have to bring in one calzone.
One calzone. Yeah, I think you have to get one calzone to see. But my recollection last time, it's been so long since calzone is. You know, it's a standard dough on the outside, but it's memula. Really, it's full of cheese and vegetables and so on. So I look at that. If you take the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Brewer seems to be coming at a definition of what is the purpose of this particular thing. Whereas the Aruch HaShulchan is coming at not what is the purpose, but what is the ikar of the top of all this. Ron.
I mean, if it's full with perot instead, right? I'm sure the perot are also, they also trump in volume, right? As opposed to just the bread that surrounds it.
Yes.
But it would seem like, in the context of the discussion in the Talmud, that the problem is that it's sweetness, right? It's
Okay, but
then it's making it not clear.
So you're opting for the, I'll call it the Havamina, the Mishnah Berurah, what the Magen Aram says, that you would be arguing that anything that's not sweet is definition not dessert, it's meal food, whether you're eating a lot of it or not eating a lot of it. That was sort of, even though Jake didn't say it that way, I think that's what Jake was really thinking. I think.
What?
That the sweetness actually matters. The sweetness tells you what the function of the food is. And that is, I think, where the Mishnah Berurah started. But because there are so many Acharonim who don't accept the Magen Avraham, at least as is, he's forced to make shalom and to say, okay, well, actually, they're not really arguing, but they're talking about where it is a different purpose, a different function. And whereas the Aruch HaShulchan has a completely different approach. He's looking, it's not at the, either you're kovei on it or you're not kovei on it. If you are, now, if you're not kovei on it, if you're not going to tell me, the Aruch HaShulchan would say, because you're sometimes, because people typically kovei, therefore, we don't care whether you kovei. No, it doesn't matter whether you kovei, but certain foods, by their definition, it doesn't matter whether you kovei or not, because they're bread. In other words, this particular tashkida is fundamentally bread with a little meat flavoring. And certainly in Ashkenazi definition, a challah with a little bit of sweet stuff is considered bread, not pasav avikisna. Hence, you don't have to be kovana to be chayiv to make a berchstamazim and hamazim. All right. And so these are, again, the Aruch HaShulchan takes a completely different approach to the Mishnah Berurah in terms of, he doesn't deny, in other words, you might say that there are two fundamental mahalchim to read in the Shulchan Aruch here. The first one is to say that the Mechaber was bedafka, didn't mention anything about kava, because you don't have to be kovea here. That's the approach the Magen Aram adopts. It's also the approach the Aruch HaShulchan and Mishnah Berurah adopt. The Taz is adopting a very different approach. The Taz is saying the Mechaber forgot to mention. He didn't bother mentioning, but that has to be in kava. It's the Mishnah Berurah is not when he proposes his. And I don't think he's explaining the Taz, but he's explaining all the other Achronim to try to make them work with the Magen Aram. To say, no, there's really no argument. It's just the Mechaber is talking about, I don't know if they're arguing how to read the Mechaber. Mechaber is talking about, if your Mechaber holds, you don't have to be Kovea, because it's a food that is meal food. But if it's the same ingredients, but somehow it has a different function, that particular food. So that's what the other Acharonim are talking about, that you have to be Kovea. Whereas the Aruch HaShulchan, right, whereas the Tasra says it's all Kriyas and not Kriyas. The Aruch HaShulchan agrees, probably Mechaber does not require Kriyas for Pashfida in order to have to automatically make Hamotzi and Benching. But the reason is because in this type of a food, the Ikar is the bread and the other stuff is the Tafel. And in other contexts, by the Peros, the filling is the Ikar and the Pas is the Tafel. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan defines it. Okay.
So just to clarify, the position of the Aruch, right, and
the Aruch HaShulchan. Oh, I'm sorry, you go back. The definitions of Pasuk
like this. Like this is a kis that they would consider mizonot, right?
Well, no. They're the ones who use cracker.
Oh, so who says kis?
And most of the Rishonim do.
Right. So is that, like this would be an example of that,
no? Which food?
The bread with the meat inside.
Yes. That's the whole question. In Siv Zayin, so Maran said that's one of the definitions of pasta, because it might be the Ikar one, somebody at Horan said. And now here you turn around and you change the ingredients on the inside, and now you omit any mention of kava, not lo kava. So that's what launches the entire discussion. Okay. So Lemaisa, if you were to ask me, I would tell you that I think that we probably follow the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Aram, with the caveats of the Mishnah Berurah. And the only challenge is to figure out what is considered meal food, definitionally, versus what might be considered, I'll call it, dual-use food. Now, I think a calzone is meal food by definition, even though the ingredients could be very similar to pizza. I think pizza, the way it is constructed, is the kind of thing that it often is a meal, but it isn't always a meal. And it is, well, in some ways, it's made almost as such that it's very easy to grab a piece to snack on. You can eat pizza without a fork and a knife. I don't know whether it's polite or not, but most of us do it. Whereas a calzone, you may not eat without a fork and knife. That would be considered uncouth, in my opinion. Of course, if you don't know what a calzone is, so then you have to figure it out when we one balloon. Put one in the order. Okay. While I know that Yeshchukim, I would advise that when it comes to pizza, I would sort of say advise the Eurasian lamb will just wash a regular bread and then that pizza. Now, I think that if you have what I have gathered from the unscientific polling of the shiur right now is that if you eat two slices, it seems that even college students, that's considered a meal typically, and you should wash a bench for that. If you eat less than one slice, then at least mitzad, if that's the only thing you eat, let me say if it's the only thing you eat, we're going to talk about the next step is what if you have one slice of pizza, but then you have soup, and you have, I don't know, what else you have on the side, so then it might, that equation could change. But for the moment, if that's all you ate, I would say that you shouldn't wash or bench on that, you should just make mezonos and a al hamechya. Okay. Now, let's go on to talk about the last issue, which is the shul kiddush. So, I will say once again, this is not an endorsement of all shul kiddushes and the volumes of food that are eaten. This is simply a halachic analysis of what bracha or brachas you shouldn't be making. Does not in any way indicate approval of the contents of the kiddush. And I don't mean from a cuisine perspective, I mean from a kiddushah perspective. So, but it would be remiss if I didn't make the observation that it should not be taken as approval. Not everything, again, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek. A kiddush is not per se terrible. When a kiddush goes over the top, it, independent of the Hilchos Brachos question, it reflects something problematic in a community. When over the top kiddush is a norm. So,
you know,
if they have things like kibbeh there, no, I'm kidding. It relates to the varieties, the expense, the fanciness of the food. Right? When you go down traditionally, Ashkenazim at least, the shul kiddush might have been, there was some schnapps out there, there might have been grape juice, they had a little bit of a sponge cake so you can make a mezonos, and that was maybe a little bit of a herring, maybe it was a fancy kiddush. It was, the purpose of the kiddush was not to feed people, and it wasn't really to eat, it was to socialize, but food, what? You know, correct, it is. Except for once upon a time, I would bet, nobody was talking about beforehand what food was going to be at the kiddush. Mm. Whereas now, you know, if you want to, again, I was told that in the Hamptons, I went there once for Shabbos. I was asked by the previous president of the yeshiva to join him for Shabbos, you know, because the Hamptons is where you go digging for gold, which is a president's job. Other than saying stupid things about anti-Semitism for Congress. Never mind, that's not why he was president, I guess. So I was told this kiddush was like over the top. So I went to the kiddush and I'm like, this wasn't kiddush. This could have ranked for the Fina kiddush, but like it wasn't over the top. Until I was explained to me, no, you were in the wrong place. It was the alcohol, the liquor, that was over the top. Since I wouldn't know the difference between a fancy bottle of scotch and turpentine, so I'm really not one to make judgments on these issues, but I was told that's the part that's over the top. So that, at least, I believe in Kinei Kiddush is not so. I don't think so. I know Arshul, they're very careful about the liquor and kids. They have adults who guard the liquor, which is very important. And I don't get the sense. Again, I haven't been in a Kiddush in who knows how long. Even if we contribute sponsoring the IDF kiddush, I still haven't been to a kiddush in years. But I don't think the alcohol is an issue. But the volumes of foods and the different kinds of meat and all this stuff, right? I'm sure there's so many of these kiddushes probably don't have sushi because it wouldn't, you know. All this stuff, like you have to, it can be over the top. And kiddushim, again, and when lots of people are contributing, it's not that much money for one person, but, you know, expense adds up. It's, in this context, I would jokingly say it's just pasnished, but we're talking about, but it might be actually pas. So, anyway, that's a terrible line. But okay, that's not fair. Ronnie needs to translate. You know what pasnish means? It means it's like unbecoming. It's a Yiddish term. I think it's what?
Red now.
I don't know what the nish part. It's, I think it's like nicht, but I think something connected to nish. Pasnished. I don't know what the first word is in the Yiddish there, but in this case it's great pastnish, it's not bread. So, but it might be, because it might be with the whole like the Magad Avraham. It is bread. All right. So the Mechaber writes in Sivav. Rani, please read this. The bottom, I think, of the second page. Oh, I see. I duplicated Sif Zion. Funny. Because Sif Zion was on the sheets originally, and I added on the stuff, and I added all the Shulchan Aruch together. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry. I failed. You know, I apologize. I should have numbered the sheets. You know, two pages or even three are not a big deal. But once you get to five, it's like...
Zayin?
Vav, vav. Right, because it's a very important point. Let's say you started out, you thought you were just going to have one slice of pizza. And then you said, you know what, let me just make this into lunch. So you go back to the pantry and you order another slice of pizza. So if what you, once you know you're going to have a meal, if what you eat from then on in is not considered to be this on its own, you don't make a new bracha rishona. But you do make bracha samasa. By contrast, I don't think the Mechaber says this, but the Achronim say this, and this is accepted. Let's say you have a slice of pizza. Okay, and let's say for you too is a meal. And this pizza is so good. You know what I said? I think I'm going to go make a meal on this. And I like this pizza so much, I'm going to stretch my stomach today. I'm going to have two pieces. So then you wash them at the Motzi. In other words, if from the point where you are now and onward, you intend to have Tobias, without what you ate before, then you need to wash and make Hamotzi. But if you plan just to finish the meal, but what you're having, Mikan Ulahaba, is not enough that on its own would have been Tobias, then you don't make a new Bracha Rishana wash, you just make Bracha Samasa when you're done. Okay, continue.
You can also just make an the way you start the meal.
No, because that's a Bracha Shana Tzricha. You're not supposed to be in a situation where there's no need to make a new bracha rishona, and you intend to eat more food. Right? Now, let me try. I have a solution. You know, people try. There is a tradition. It's probably quoted. I'm pretty sure it's quoted Shulchan Aruch to try to make mea brachot every day. Okay. Now during the week it's pretty easy because you start out with 57 brachot just in your private amida. You add all the other stuff together, and you're within spitting distance by the time you start to eat. But on Shabbat, in Yom Tov, it's not so easy. So, now, I have a very simple solution. Sit down with this is not a simple solution because it takes a long time. I'll sit down with a box of Oreos, in honor of Jake, and in honor of Maseches Tzachim, which only one of you was here for, but we all know that the Platonic ideal form of chametz is an Oreo. Oreos may not be dairy, but they are chametz. You know what? I'm going to eat, let's say, one Oreo as a kazayis, probably. I mean, frankly, when I have Oreos, I'm machmir to have at least two in case one is less than a kazayis. I'm very, very machmir. You know, it's a function of my Yerushalayim. But, so you eat two Oreos, let's say one and a half. Of course, when you eat the Oreo, you know how you eat an Oreo. If you don't, you don't belong here. You split it in half, and which side do you eat first?
I don't split it in half.
Well, then there's something wrong with you, okay. What? Second tooth. Which one do you eat first?
The non-cream one.
Well, it depends on whether you're going to be successful in the future or not. If you have no impulse control, you eat the cream one first. If you have good impulse control, you eat the non-cream one first. Okay. So now, anyway, I eat my one and a half Oreos, let's say that I'm sure is a kizayis, and then I'll make an almecha. Then I'll have another Oreo and a half and make a mezonos almecha. That's a bracha shena tzricha. If you could say, I'm going to do on a sit down on Shabbos afternoon, I want a snack now, and I'll make sure I have an apple, a banana, a cookie, and a glass of water, and then I'll get to make four brachos there. And I could actually make it an apple and a banana. I'll make an apple, a date and a banana. So same bracha we showed, but now I have to make an aloes al peres plus the barley fleshes. By the way, just note in that case, I'm almost certain, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you make an al haaretz al peres, and you had dates and apples, and I think bananas as well, what bracha, what if you had a date, an apple, and a banana, assuming each one had the size in it, what bracha achronos do you make? The answer is you only make aloes al peres. The aloes al peres covers other fruits. We just don't make it on its own on other fruits. But if you had, I believe, vegetables as well. And once you say an aloes al peres, it exempts all the produce from the ground that's not cool, that's not hamotzi, and that's not wine. But the only way you make a bari nefashos along with an aloes al peres is if you had something to drink, or you had cheese or meat or fish, which is not covered by any way by bari, in no way is pre-haaretz. So just be aware of that. So anyway, so you could do that, and then later in the afternoon, you're not eating now, you know, this is at 1 o'clock, and 3 o'clock I'll come back, I'll have another sudas brachas, if we could call it that. That's okay, but just to sit here when I know I'm going to eat right now, I don't know what exactly the shir kan between is, that's not okay. That's a bracha shein tzmiach. So that's why saying, well, let me just make an aha mechya, and now I'll wash and make hamotzi and then I'll bench, well, except for that if you didn't need to, that's probably a bracha shein tzmiach in this case. Right? Because your intent is to continue eating. Okay, continue in the Shulchan Aruch.
Right. ואם אחר שיעור שאחרים אין קולים עליו, אבל שהוא קובע עליו, אין לו מלך עליו במיני מסנות, ובלאחר חמי שלוש, בדבר דעתו,
Do we have to read that again? Do you have to read that again?
I understand.
What? I'm curious, have you asked anybody who, if you were to ask if you would consider your posseg, what would they say?
Don't know.
You don't know. Okay. All right.
I also... term posseg. I don't have like in Ashkenazi communities it's like very rigid, like you pick one and then like that's like your posseg. But like I don't know if I'm down for that.
Okay, fine. Well, we should go ask Rav Ben Chaim. Ask him what he says. Okay, fine. So that is what the Shulchan Aruch says. So now the question is, what does it mean to be koveya on tasav of a kisner? Meaning, how much do you have to eat, and of what foods? So start with the Mishnah Berurah here. The Mishnah Berurah, thank you, Rani. Yonatan, can you please read the Mishnah Berurah? It's on the supplemental sheet for anybody who didn't pick one up, which are right there. Simon Sifkat and Chavdal in the Mishnah Berurah. All right. So he's quoting on the word Shachelim Acherim Regilim Lekvala.
Yeah. So Katvura Achronim. Dim achlu levado, alatarachi achlu shir shachirim regilim mistvah mimano levado. Dim achlu.
Right. In other words, how much would other people need to eat from this alone in order to be sareya?
Dim achlu im basar devarim acherim shemal patim.
Shemalachim
doapat. Sag kisha ochel shir shachirim regilim mistvah mimano kisha ochel gam kim in devarim acherim.
So stop. This is important because I'm starting to reconsider even the claim being made about kishes. So if you eat it with other stuff, in basar or dvar machayim, which are malach in basakas, it's sufficient kishaochel shirush acherim regilu nesfal mimenu kishaochem gam kein in dvar machayim. Now, think about what that means carefully. I'm starting to reconsider the whole thing. Shimmy.
Does that mean that if you're eating at the Kiddush and you have less than a full thing, let's say you have a normal amount of cookies but only a little bit amount of the other stuff, most people have a normal amount of cookies and a lot of other stuff, would you have to wash and bench on that?
No, I don't think that's what Mishnah Berurah is saying. It's fun. Do you see where I'm going with this? what do you mean you eat a shear? If you eat other stuff with it, let's go to a shul kiddush.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like the crackers or the cakes that are put out. So this is the cheshbon I make when I go to a kiddush, not when I go to a I'm a hypothetical person. I could eat two bakery cookies to get my mezonos in, and then I could eat three bowls of cholent and four pieces of potato kola, and then three pieces of kibbeh. We got to be inclusive here. Now, I have another possibility. I could eat one cookie and have a little extra kibbeh. Or, assuming the cookies are big, I could have half a cookie and I could have another portion of cholent. Or, I could eat six cookies and have only two portions of cholent and one piece of kugel and one kibbeh, like they're like little, how about
it's
the shape is a little bit like a
it's like it's an oval that
yeah like a
what do you call that?
A bowl? No, I'm not used to seeing them. Used to, I mean, imagine what it's a very rounded blintz. A very rounded blintz, you know. Right?
It's
so
like
it's a little narrow and long and round.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll call it a piece. Right? We call it one. Okay. So I can have all variety of things. I can have a little more cake, I can have a little less cake. What is masfi in me? Is it the cake that I had? The answer is no, it's the total food that I had. Let me put it to you this way. Let's say I go to a kiddush and I stuff my face with kibbeh has a dough around it, it's a kind of dough around it. That's going to get me in trouble. I stuff my face with cholent and kugel and I have one cookie that's a kezias. In order to say that it's kiddush bracha suda, does that fit what the Mishnah Berurah is describing here?
Seems like if you do that, you have to wash off.
No. He says if you eat it alone, clearly there has to be a shear that people are normally sabei with, right?
Yeah.
L'spon mero levado. V'im achalo and basa or devar machem shemalatim bopas sagi kishochel shear of what? Of this bread. So what does that mean? The factor in determining whether I'm saver or not, he's describing is how much of this bread do I eat? I would say that it's not dependent upon how much bread you eat. The whole point that most people do kiddush is they eat the bread just so they can say it's kiddush bracha suda, but they might have just a little bit, and they stuff themselves with other stuff. So it doesn't matter how, once you have a kezias, it doesn't matter how little or much bread you have. If the goal is to fill yourself with other things, does that mean then that is the amount that, it doesn't sound like that's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. But it sounds like you have to eat a certain volume of bread. Normally, as he's going to, it's question, but most Achronim assume that if you're eating the bread alone, it's not enough to have a kezias. Everybody agrees with that. It's not enough to have three or four kebetzim. You have to have, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 kebetzim. You have to have. Like if you were, I don't know, usually again, we don't eat bread alone. But if I were something that I'm having bread, let's say toast. Let's say you decide to have toast and butter for lunch. Does anybody ever do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine, let's say you do it for lunch. So there, the butter flavors the toast. It does add a few calories. But at the end of the day, the bread is what's doing it for you. So if you were eating, let's say it weren't toast, let's say French toast were pasta by the piston, which it's not, because it's bread, it's dark side bread. But let's say you made French toast from scratch with the sugar in it. But you would have a certain number of pieces of French toast. And so I understand, that's when you eat the bread alone. Fine. How many Oreos, Jake, are you covering on that? You said six? I don't think that's enough.
That's a small number.
Six, okay, at least eight. Okay, fine. We'll settle on eight for now. Okay, fine. So now, here's my question for you. If instead of having eight Oreos at the kiddush, and that's all I eat, and I like Oreos, instead I have one Oreo and then I have the rest of the stuff. Now, is that an amount that acherim, when they eat other stuff, are regil l'spoimenu? The point that I'm making, is that the function of, again, in the context of the kiddush that we talk about, the function of the bread is not all the spoil. Right? The function is not all the spoil. The function is just to make you have many people have a minimal amount. They'll take two or three little crackers so they don't have a kezias, and then they go eat whatever else they want to eat at the kiddush. So I'm not sure. Yes, Paul?
It's a cultural shift.
We have enough other, we have enough meat and other stuff to allow us to not.
I agree with you, but I'm trying to apply the Mishnah Berurah's categorization to our situation, and I'm suggesting that even according to the Mishnah Berurah, it doesn't apply. Right. In other words, because would you say I don't know? Let me frame it to you this way. Let's say I go to a kiddush and I have one. Let's say it's a egg challah roll. Right. Something that would constitute pasul b'kisin. Let's say I was sardi and I had an egg challah roll, right? A regular what we call what Ashkenazim call challah. If I had one roll and then I had a whole roll, which is multiple kizesim, and then I had cholent and kugel, I could see somebody saying that that's a shear. A roll is a meaningful amount. It's not for, I don't know if it's for kibbutz or not. It's certainly not alone enough to resvia. I could see someone saying this along with other foods would be considered a meal. I can't see someone who goes and takes three crackers. So they can say they have kibbutz makam suda. Even according to the Mishnah Berurah, I don't think that means that you need to wash and bench in there. Brian, do you hear what I'm saying?
I'm not sure I see where kavana is being intended.
He says if you ate it with bimachalo and basal advar machayim shemalach dem boapas sagi kishe ochel shir shagi achirim regilu nisponim shochem gamkein advar machayim. What does that mean? There's no amount. Any amount, if I stuff myself with the other stuff, I'm always full. Again, is it going to be half a roll, a quarter of a roll, a full roll? Well, it's just kind of
something.
What?
Something was normal. Not what
you're going to do. Oh, no, agree. But you would agree. I don't think people would look. In other words, it is conceivable that someone says, when I eat a roll, when I have a meal, I'll have a roll worth of challah, and then I fill myself with other stuff. No one goes and takes three crackers and then eats the rest of the stuff and says that the function of the three crackers is that it's part of the meal or the meal is around it. Nobody would say that. Well, you eat a whole roll that they put on your plate. But again, think about the different way. Firstly, people don't know. When you wash on Shabbos, you should have a kezayis of the challah. Because you shouldn't, for Birchas Avodah purposes, you need the kezayis of the bread. Now, you see how different people are in different ways with their challah. Now, some people take a little piece, that's insufficient. We're not talking about, gargantuan kezayis that you need to worry about. But you should have something. It might be only half a slice of challah. Imagine if you crush the challah and it would be the volume of a zayis. That should be what at least a person should eat. So you can imagine, you see it happens all the time. They put a roll at a catering fair. They put a roll on a person's plate. And what does the person do? So some people take a little out of the roll. Some people take a chunk out of the roll. Some people eat the whole roll. Now, the people who take the little thing out, which probably is not sufficient, or who take a chunk of the roll, you wouldn't say that they're really being koveya on them. Again, the roll normally, again, for Ashkenazim at least, or if it's a water challah roll, okay, the svardim is hamotzi. That's not, but just think about the roll of the bread is here. Or you wouldn't say they're being koveya on that bread, or you wouldn't say that that's a shear of bread, that when other people eat other stuff with the bread, is normally enough to get a saw. Right? If you ate the whole roll, I could see somebody arguing that. Even though the whole roll by itself, without any other foods, is not, it's not going to leave you, you know, feeling sated for very long. So that's why I say when you look at Mishnah Berurah, there has to be, in other words, if you just have a couple of crackers to make sure that it kazayas, I don't think you would describe that as a shir she'acheru medilu nespoa mimenu kesh'ochen gan kainu dvar macheru. You're not safei mimenu at all. I mean, technically you are, because I imagine you fill up your stomach, every little thing in your stomach contributes to the sphere. But I don't think what he's describing is what we're talking about in our kiddush. Right? I think it might be our Shabbos table, except for that it's usually we have regular bread. But let's say it were a great problem for Rami here. Let's say it's Ashkenazi egg challah. Mm-hmm. So, and you're eating at this meal, and now you have to figure out, how am I going to make sure that I'm benching properly here? So here, I understand. You could say, if it's rolls on the table, eat a whole roll with the rest of the meal, and along with the rest of the meal, you've now been koveya. I could see, you say, eating two or three slices of challah, make sure you eat that with the meal, or maybe two slices of challah, probably enough, but that would be bread, savei, and menu. For you, just to take, you know, a slice of challah, that's not, I think, doesn't even fit the market of our Mishnah Berurah's quote. Right? So reading this, as I think about it, I can't even see the tzad to say in a kiddush it would be appropriate for a person to wash the bench. Now, what they have to do is either have bread or really be if you're following the Magen Avraham, you have to have enough. We consider what I do Shabbos morning, but we wash on real bread or real Ashkenazim, bread for Ashkenazim to remove any suffix, and so we get to the Shnia. But now, as I think about it, people enjoy the cake, but nobody eats the cake to be Saveya Mimenu. The BF crackers with the Tulifishin and cheese, I guess. Even so, I'm not sure. So I'll continue to wash. But I think that a Shul Kiddush, if you're making it the Cholent and the Kugel, things that are not passed by any definition, it seems to me that if all you do is have a desire, then it doesn't really, even among the would say you don't wash it much.
I'm worried I need a lot of that book about Talah, and I was supposed to.
That you made what?
A lot of that I thought about Talah on Shabbat last year.
No, the Aruch HaShulchan sheet is it has to be only from bread. So let's finish the Mishnah Berurah here, because he's also going to talk about, right now he's talking about mixing with other foods. What about if you eat the bread straight? The pasta is in straight. How much? Right? How many Oreo cookies is it going to be?
After Machlu Levado, the Selvali menu,
I don't fully understand what he's saying. I mean, I know what he's saying. I understand what he's saying. It's actually a little surprising to me. This is kind of a hybrid shita. What does the Mishnah Berurah say here?
If you have two slices of pizza without any toppings, then you could mention it.
He says it should be covered on its own.
But you're not having any of the toppings.
I don't think anything else. Okay, let me keep this simple rather than the wise guy, Terrence. I have two slices of challah at a meal. Now, most people, when they want to use bread as part of the meal, like two slices of challah sufficient, and then they eat, you know, meat, fish, you know, all the stuff to do. You, however, have a small stomach, small appetite, and you eat two pieces of challah, and you're Saveya Mimenu. That is possible to kiss it. So I wasn't Koveya Begadol, because I didn't eat any more than these two slices. But since for other people, again, normally we say, even if you're not Koveya, if others are Koven on this, we say that you have to wash Yitamotzi and Berachas HaMazon. So in this case, because I, in other words, normally, let's say it was just pizza. Okay, and typically when people eat pizza, okay, maybe that's some French fries on the side, but let's say you typically just eat pizza. Right? Many students go in for lunch, and what they have is pizza. Okay, that's typical. So you would say that if I eat what is the normal kriyas, I wash and bench. If I don't eat the normal kriyas, only one slice, and I wash and bench. But what if it is very common for people to have one slice of pizza and then have onion rings and French fries and I don't know whatever else they do with pizza, and then they're full? And that is very typical that people do that. So the Mishnah Berurah is saying, so if you only ate one slice as a snack and you weren't koveya on it and you weren't staveya mimenu, so that is possible with this, you know, and you weren't koveya. But what if you have a small stomach and you eat one piece of pizza and you're staveya from it? You didn't have any onion rings, and you didn't have any French fries, but most people would have one piece of pizza and onion rings and French fries. Onion rings and French fries. I think I just created a new category. Onion fries and French rings. Okay, so now, Mr. Bush says, you should wash on that. Why? Because that's called a cheirun kovanolah. It's kind of wild. It's a hybrid between the subjective and the objective. Right? It's because I was saveya from it, which is subjective, but because many other people would use this in conjunction with additional food, and it would be the masbiya. It's pretty wild shita. It's pretty wild shita. Okay.
That doesn't sound like what actually.
So let's when we get to the Aruch HaShulchan, hopefully today, let's talk about that. So now he's finished giving you the klalim, right? If I eat it alone, and I have a shear that people typically eat alone, and that's their meal, that's called kriyas. If I eat it alone, if I eat it with other foods, and I have a shear of the pasta that other people would normally also do with other foods, so then I wash the bench on it. And if I eat alone that amount, and I have nothing else, and I'm saveya, but others would not be saveya with that alone, but that would be the bread component of their meal, then I also wash and bench on it. That last one's a big finish. The second one's a chiddush too. The Aruch Shulchan is going to disagree. The Aruch Shulchan is going to disagree with the Gemara, the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham. Right, but we'll get to that in a second. But now he talks about, okay, but let's have eating the bread alone. What is the Shir Kriya? So most of us would say, look around. We did a public opinion poll today. And two slices, one. So now, how many kazesim of flour or kabesim of flour are in two pieces of pizza? I have no clue. So you have to raise your hand. Like, should you tell us how many? If you just say it with certitude, we'll believe you, because none of us know.
Four cups.
If that doesn't work, say it louder. We'll believe you. Okay.
Only when my mom makes pizza down there.
Okay, so I don't promise to figure out what a kibbutz is also. We often say a kibbutz is two kazesim, but that may not be true. That may be the width of a kibbutz and not the volume. That's a question. Anyway, so the Mishnah Berurah continues. Whoever's reading the Mishnah Berurah, he's the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, so the Shir Suda for an Eir of Tumen is three or four Beitzim. It's Machlokas, I believe, Rashi and the Rambam.
The Katsu Kama Achronim, the Huadin Kam,
Now, I think Aruch HaShulchan attributes this to the Shulchan Aharav. I haven't had a chance to look. I didn't find it on the shelf, actually. It should be there. I think I got interrupted at the last moment. It's supposed to be bookcase 22, shelf 3. So I didn't have a chance to go check what the Aruch HaShulchan really says. What the Shulchan Aharav really says. But...
About Kama Aharav.
One second. So the claim that he's attributing to some Aharav is that if you have three or four kibbutzim, depending on what's Rashi or the Rambam, figure who holds which, then that's called kiyus. Doesn't matter what people subjectively do. So now he says, however, By the way, did anybody look at the Shvola Lachet and Beis Yosef? I don't think this is what the Shvola Lachet says, actually.
I just kind of trusted him on that one. I did not check him out.
So I think if you go back, it's a very short passage. Go read the Shvola Lachet. I read the Shvola Lachet and I was surprised. Before I saw the Shavura, I read him as saying that the only time you wash a bench of Pasa Bakistan is if you eat it in the morning or the afternoon meal. He's reading it as that is the volume that you in that kind of a meal, as opposed to a snack meal. But when I read the Shibboleth Halakha, the Beis Yosef dismisses it. He doesn't like it. I thought the Shibboleth Halakha says that unless you're eating it Bisnan Shudas Erev, Shudas Boker, you don't wash a bench of it. It's not totally the amount that you eat. Now, part of that is because normally people don't eat that much when it's not Sudas HaBoker, Sudas Erev. Remember, they ate two meals generally. One was somewhere mid to late morning, and the other was at the end of the day. Those were the two meals. They didn't really have a breakfast. They had a brunch. Brunch and dinner were their meals.
I was told it was the most important meal of the day.
Which one?
Breakfast. That's the
propaganda. I know. Listen, here's the way it works. Firstly, Chazal also said that, but their breakfast was a little bit later, and they didn't have a third meal. They also lived in a world in which there was a deficit of calories, and therefore there was no concern generally about overeating, because when you could find food, you ate it. Whereas today, part of the problem, and the reason why they say eating breakfast so good is A, it gives you energy to start the day, and you're also not hungry, and you don't fall prey to temptation of eating junk foods later in the morning before you get to lunch. When there were no junk foods around, then you didn't have to worry about that.
So
this is pretty wild, actually. So which cases of pasach abekisnim would you be machmir by? Here's just what he's saying. Number one, you have a shita that says that when you have three or four kibbutzim, that's called kriya suda, even though it's not the shear that people normally would kovei on. They would eat much more. So, but if you already have a suffix, maybe you should wash the mint anyway because you're having three or four kibbutzim. On top of which, it's a suffix whether this bread is actually possible because it might be real bread. So then it's better that you should, it would be better not to eat that amount. Either eat way more that's considered clearly kovei alav, or eat less than the three or four beitzim to avoid the suffix. And especially if it's pas haba, a suffix pas haba b'kistin. There's only one problem. Which of the three kinds of cases is suffix haba pas haba b'kistin? All of them. Which means nothing. He shouldn't say if you have a bread that's suffix pas haba b'kistin, you shouldn't eat four beitzim of it. You should never eat four beitzim of anything that's pas haba b'kistin, because it's all a suffix. Because there are three definitions. Right. So what's the answer? Yeah, I think elsewhere the Mishnah Berurah assumes that the first category, kisim, asur kisim and memula, is really the core definition of pasul abekisim. So he would say if you're eating that, if you're eating a, I don't know, what a blueberry tart? I don't know, is a tart like a pastry filled with blueberries in the time? Something like that? No? Does anybody know? What do you people eat? It's garbage. Food. What? Touché, that was good. Do you walk into the bakery every and say, can I have some pizza? That was good, Jake. I deserve that. If it was meant as such, because it was funny. If it wasn't, it's even more amazing that you weren't even trying to learn this funny. But whatever, let's say you have a pastry that's full of fruit on the inside. So that's the ikar possible of a kistin. There, the Shabur would say, again, you don't have to follow this. This is the hamachmir. You want to be machmir. But if you were being machmir, if it's Mishnah Berurah, so you know your pastry from the bakery, you wouldn't have to be machmir for. But if it were pizza, then well, okay. If it were pizza, then the Mishnah Berurah would say that pizza. I think pizza is that kind of pasul abekisnim. Okay, let's say it were crackers, or Oreos. Okay, Oreos, you shouldn't eat more than three or four kibbutzim of Oreos. Okay, fine. I'm not going to push. Tomorrow we're going to go on in the Gemara. Are we satisfied, Pasul abekisnim? We just have to look at the Aruch HaShulchan. Have I been yotze? Have we been kovei on Pasul abekisnim? All right.
Only if you've eaten other things alongside it.
Okay. Well, we learn lots of other things that come all the way. So I think we're going to go. I want to just move on a little. Gemara finish. I think Shasisa. See, we're not going to get. I thought we might. Well, we might get the Shlakos. I'm not sure. But we'll keep. I'll send you if there's anything in particular I want you to look at. But I want to kind of finish up the Mizonos stuff. We're mostly finished. There's a little bit in the Gemara. The next part of the Gemara you can not skip. You can chazer, but that was Dvash and Trima. That was the fruit juices. We did that already, and I think Shasisa is right after that. So that's where you would pick up. So maybe we'll try to get that in and the Nusach of Berachat Hamotzi, and maybe we will get the Shlakos this week. I don't know. Okay.